The Galapagos Islands may be sacred in the history of science, but 16th century sailors who came across them weren't so impressed. They described the volcanic archipelago as a little piece of hell. Charles Darwin would beg to differ. The island's inhabitants inspired the Origin of Species. Darwin noticed subtle variations between species of mockingbirds on the different Galapagos Islands. His epiphany came when he realized they all evolved from the same ancestor. Today, the Galapagos are still home to thousands of rare species, and they're still a magnet for scientists and ecotourists. Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Edward Larson tells the island's history in his book Evolution's Workshop. He told Steve Paulson that the Galapagos are like nothing on Earth.
Oh, the Galapagos are a place unto themselves. They're often described as like being on the moon. Earlier visitors would say they're like, as Darwin did, the infernal regions, or how they would imagine Pandemonia to be, which was the capital of Milton's hell. They're new volcanic islands, as islands go. Some of the westerly ones, the older ones, are still nothing but clinkers and tormented lava that flows, that go right down to the sea. You can see them frozen in place, or ash, very difficult to climb or to walk on. Will ruin any pair of shoes. Then as you move east, the islands get younger. They are right on the equator, and yet they're not like tropical islands that you imagine on the equator, like Tahiti or Fiji. The early visitors were just awed by the place. They never saw anything like this on the equator, and it's still true. There's nothing quite like it.
And of course, the Galapagos have entered scientific lore as being the place where Darwin discovered evolution. But not everyone back then spoke so highly of them. Herman Melville went and visited the Galapagos Islands, and he loathed them.
He described them as literally the infernal regions, as the closest thing to hell imaginable to him. And he characterized their bizarre animals. Take, for example, the tortoises, which at that time overran the place. They were huge, up to a quarter ton in size, and they lived for seemingly endless periods of time. They had no idea how long they lived. We still don't have a clear idea, maybe 200, 250 years. And since there were no people living on the Galapagos, he viewed these tortoises as the incarnations, the souls of evil sea captains when they died, the Ahabs, would inhabit the bodies of Galapagos tortoises, and that they were doomed to an eternal life in a changeless place, in an uninhabitable place.
Once Darwin did publish on the Origin of Species, did the Galapagos Islands become famous? Did this place become a landmark in science?
Darwin, more than any other person, made the Galapagos famous to scientists. Almost immediately, it was the story, almost like Newton's connected with the apple. The Galapagos became sort of the legendary source of Darwin's ideas. And therefore, because people continued to question exactly how evolution worked, and some, of course, continued to challenge evolution, because the Galapagos was the famous item connected with the with evolution, later scientists wanted to go there and study or to send collectors to bring back specimens. The Galapagos became the battleground during the late 1800s and early 1900s, first for people like Louis Agassiz of Harvard or Richard Owen of the British Museum.
And these were people who did not believe Darwin's theory of evolution. They wanted to disprove it.
These were the top scientists of the day. Louis Agassiz was the most famous zoologist in America. He was an old man by that time. And yet, he took his last overseas expedition, and it was very straining on his health. He went down to the Galapagos to try to disprove Darwin. He didn't come up with any new insights there that he couldn't have gotten other places, but he knew the bully pulpit, the podium of the Galapagos, would be an effective way to challenge Darwin. And so Agassiz went there, but also people who accepted evolution but wondered about the mechanism. We tend to think the general ideas that Darwinism just was accepted as it was. But what had happened during the late 1800s, even though evolution was generally accepted quite quickly among the scientific community due to the persuasiveness of Darwin's evidence from the Galapagos and elsewhere, there was tremendous dispute about how this happened. What were the mechanisms? Are there acquired characteristics, as Lamarck had said? Is it chance, random mutations? How much role does survival of the fittest play? Scientists debated these points for well, they're still debating him to an extent, but quite intensively for 80 years.
In the 1960s, the Galapagos Islands became a national park. Has that helped or hurt the islands?
National park status, and even more than that, World Heritage Site status, is certainly a mixed blessing for the Galapagos. Before that, they were fairly isolated, and their isolation helped preserve their distinctiveness. Well, what's happened with the Galapagos is there was a conscious design initiated and worked out by the United Nations and World Wildlife Fund, and the Ecuadorian government to develop the Galapagos as really a wondrous place for tourism, where people could go and see the evolutionary process at work and could encounter animals such as they cannot be encountered anywhere else because of their seeming tameness. That is, they're not really tame. They just don't know to fear people.
So you could walk right up next to these giant tortoises, for instance, and maybe that's not a good example, some of the birds, and they wouldn't fly away.
The risk is not whether you can see birds. You certainly don't need binoculars. The danger is whether you're going to step on them because the blue-footed boobies will nest right in the trails, and you'll literally have to step around them, and the mockingbirds will come and start untying your shoes, and the hawks will come right up to you. These animals simply just don't know to be afraid of you. Of course, the tortoises don't move. The iguanas don't move. You can swim with penguins. Hmm. They're the only penguins that live on the equator, and you can swim with them. You can swim with sea lions. They come and look right in your face, and they play with you, and it's a moving experience. Many writers who've gone there, countless visitors who go there, are transformed by the experience.
But this poses quite a dilemma, because on the one hand, you want people to be able to marvel at the wonder of nature and to see these incredible creatures. But of course, the more human traffic you have, no matter how hard you try to do it in the way of least impact, just the fact that so many people are traipsing along these islands is going to have some damaging effects.
Breaking that isolation inevitably changes a place. Ecuador has done as much as any country could conceivably do to protect the place. As a result, they pretty well control the tourists. The tourists can't just go at random wherever they want to. They have to go on planned tour boats and tour itineraries and can only stop at particular places and walk on particular trails. But what does happen with 100,000 tourists coming there a year, a infrastructure has been built. Tens of thousands of Ecuadorians have moved there to service the tourist industry. Of course, fish have to be caught to serve the tourists to eat on their boats. Oil tankers have to bring fuel in, as famously once one went aground in January and caused an oil slick. 2 to 3 airline jets land a day. Large container ships come in. 2 sizable towns have developed on the Galapagos. This causes inevitable pressure on the place. So far, most of the original species still exist, about 98%. But there's tremendous pressure because just by accident, people bring in seeds and spores and bacteria, and some of the introduced plants, such as the guava, get loose and spread and outcompete these rather fragile native species that exist there. The dogs and the pigs and the goats do a terrible number on the tortoises. And so, yes, these introduced species that get there inevitably endanger the place. And it was isolation that made the Galapagos special. It was the fact that no land mammals could ever get there until humans. But once humans got there and once they begin going in increasing numbers, there's an inevitable and increasing impact.
Edward Larson teaches history and law at the University of Georgia. He talked to Steve Paulson about his book, Evolution's Workshop, God and Science on the Galapagos Islands.